D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
From Sunny Shore City, you're listening to The Underground Radio, bringing you all of the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Nateel.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be bringing you some of the latest non-spoiler Pokemon news, not straight from the spoilers. Presenting our double teams featuring Shellfish Pokemon, Making Spaghetti, and bringing you the answers to our latest question of the week. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants.
Now, I realize that making spaghetti is not a Pokemon-related thing, but as it would turn out, at 9:20 in the morning over here, Sam decided now was the time to make spaghetti, so...
If there was ever going to be a more appropriate time to make spaghetti, I certainly don't know when that would be. So, I don't know.
Oh! So,
but I'm making spaghetti with gusto.
In Pokemon-related things that we have been doing, Sam and I are excited to know that both of our local GameStop locations will be doing a midnight release for Pokemon X and Y.
Which is pretty awesome, considering that a lot of other people that I've talked to, their GameStops aren't even going to do it. So...
Well, and I think that the big thing for us over here is that this is the first time, and probably the only time ever, that a Nintendo game will be released on a not-Sunday.
I suppose.
And because North Dakota has the blue laws that says that non-essential businesses cannot be open until noon on Sundays, we never get to do midnight releases for Nintendo games. No Zelda it's games, true. No Mario games, none of them get midnight releases because of the blue laws.
Yep.
So it's like, hey, this game is releasing on a Saturday, we're going to have a midnight release because it's the only option we have. It's the only opportunity we have.
Well, I don't know. We say that too, but other states don't have blue laws, and I guess technically you could just head off to, like, Walmart or something and pick it up at midnight. Like, you could totally just run over. That's what a lot of people did when Heart Cold Soul Silver dropped. They were just like, nope, we're not even going to try GameStop. We're going to go over to Dilworth, and we're going to go to Walmart.
I remember when Heart Gold and Soul Silver released, there were a couple of midnight releases at GameStops in Minnesota that a friend and I were thinking about driving to, and then we realized that we couldn't decide who would have to drive back while the other person got to play, so we ditched that idea.
Oh. Where was the midnight release at? Was it in the cities?
No, there's a GameStop somewhere between here and the cities. I don't remember where it is exactly, and that's where we were going to go.
Oh, okay then.
But it was still like a 3-hour drive.
I suppose.
Other than that, I guess the only things that I've been up to are being super jacked about X and Y coming out next weekend, and I was able to download Pokemon Showdown for my new PC.
Very cool.
Yeah, like, for some reason, I couldn't figure out the download for the netbook. Like, for some reason, it just wasn't appearing. I would go to the website and there would be no option to download. And as soon as I went to the main Pokemon Showdown website on the new desktop, it was like, hey, download for Windows. And I was like, done.
Yeah, and I know a lot of other people I've talked to have just said, well, the option's not there, even though I totally have that option. And I don't know if it's just that it's like a glorified hyperlink to it, which is probably what it is, but I don't know. I've always been able to have it, and because I have it downloaded, I don't know how I did it to be able to duplicate the process. So
it was just right there on the main website for me, and it's worked out really well because I was experiencing so much lag with it on my netbook when I was using it in browser, and it didn't matter what browser I used. I would use Chrome, I would use Firefox, I would use straight up Internet Explorer sometimes just to see if it would reduce the lag issues I was having. And
to be perfectly fair, too, your laptop or netbook was a few years old, and you did have a whole ton of stuff on it, too.
Well,
so.
Even after, you know, completely purging it, which I did, I don't know, about 6 months ago, I was still having issues with lag on the netbook. And with it downloaded onto my desktop, I don't have any issues with lag at all, which was really good considering I had to test the team for Double Team that we are presenting this week.
It's true.
The lack of lag made that a substantial amount easier.
Good deal.
But other than the excitement of, you know, starting to use Showdown again, I've got midterms next week, so I have had no time to start breathing the new doubles team that I've got planned out now. Like, it's all out on paper. I just have to start breathing it.
Yeah.
And I was going to start doing that this week until I realized that I have a paper due next week and 3 midterm exams.
Yeah, that'd do it.
So I've been studying and writing and praying that next week doesn't kill me before X and Y come out, because that would be really sad.
It's true.
So that's my stuff. What have you been up to?
I have been doing a lot of things related to Pokemon X and Y. I've been very excited for it myself, but I've also been excited for the opportunities that I've been presented with when it comes to promoting Pokemon League. At the West Acres Mall, the GameStop there offered me the opportunity to run a tournament there while the midnight release was going on, which I thought was fantastic of them.
Super cool.
Oh, yeah. And the GameStop on 45th, I was going to talk to as well to see if they were interested in running something. The core concern of theirs was that they wouldn't necessarily have a lot of space for it, but
yeah, the location there is not quite as nice as it is at the mall, where the mall has, like, that whole open expanse in front of the store to work with.
That's true. But I don't know, I thought that was really impressive of them. I didn't expect to be able to do anything like that, and it'll be just one other thing for us to be able to present to the other players that eventually congregate there. They were expecting something along the lines of 50 to 60 people at the mall, which is a lot of people. And Josh was kind enough to send us a document that one of his league members down there had created, and he sent it to me in the just raw format there so I could modify it however I wanted. And I'm going to be editing it so that it includes information for both my league and Ben's. And then we would just pass out some of those to the players who are there. And my greatest hopes and expectations would be that all of them would show up. But even if a third of them decided to start coming to Pokemon League, that would be fantastic.
Heck yes, it would.
Yep. And this is the appropriate time to do it, too, because we will have all of the super rabid, like, hardcore Pokemon fans gathered in one place. And, you know, one thing about Pokemon League is that you're always a little worried about going to it that first time, just because you're never quite sure what the environment is like. But I think we're a really awesome group, and I think most Pokemon Leagues are, if not all of them. And the I think the pull there is that we're an amazing community. I mean, if once you start coming a couple of times, you want to make it a routine of your week to be able to come back.
Well, and the really awesome thing is that we will be able to be passing these flyers out at both locations, too.
Yes. And you and Darren are probably going to be the two who are covering 45th. I don't know of anybody else who's going to 45th who is in, like, a administrative position between either leagues, and Ben and I will be at the one at the mall. So
awesome.
And I guess I also know Richard is going to the one at the mall. I'm thinking Liz will be as well.
And I'm assuming that most of our league people will probably be at the one at the mall, just because it's convenient to pre-order at the mall when league happens at the mall.
That's true. And then there's also the, I think Afton will be joining you over there, though.
Well, that'll be good.
Yep. Because if I remember right, she transferred hers over to 45th as well. So I think you'll be good there. So you'll have Darren, Afton, presumably Joey, and I don't know. I swear there was one other person I remember who was saying, hey, I'm going over to the 45th one.
That's okay. I'll figure that out on Saturday when I get there. Or on Friday when I get there.
Friday. It's weird to keep thinking of midnight releases, because it says it releases on Saturday, but it's actually...
We'll be there on the Friday before.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was really amazing of the GameStop assistant manager to offer me the opportunity to do that.
It's interesting, that's for sure.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What else have you been up to?
Well, other than draining my spaghetti out, I built a new deck, which is it's an evil deck. It really is. I used it this last week, actually, against Darren, who was borrowing one of my decks, and he was learning how to play for the first time, which was exciting. And he was using my dragon deck, which was a little scary for me because my deck doesn't function very well against decks that can set up that quickly. But because he was new to it, he didn't quite understand the strategy to it. So I lucked out hardcore playing against that one is what I did. Because every time that I would play against myself, I would destroy that new deck with the dragon deck. I mean, it's just a fact of life. I mean, there's simply no way that my new deck can compete against the likes of my dragon deck, because it's designed to slow a person down, and with Dragon Call, you can't slow it down. So.
Yeah.
But, that spaghetti is looking awesome. If anybody's wondering, I'm also putting some habanero pepper in it, too, because we're cooking, like, a boss and Charizard, so. See, it was Pokemon-related. But I also managed to catch the FedEx guy this time, as opposed to having to call FedEx and talking to the robot and getting it sent somewhere else. But I got my new Professor Deck Box, Professor Card Sleeves, and my set of stamped Professor Junipers.
Nice.
Yes. I was super, super, super pleased with them. Just like, this is so amazing.
Are they super pretty?
They are very pretty. They are... They're a hollow set of the Junipers from Black and White. Yeah, Black and White, and from Dark Explorers. And they have the Professor Program logo stamped onto the bottom left-hand side of the picture.
Nice.
Yes. And they are so shiny and pretty and amazing. It's awesome. The deck box and the deck sleeves are really good, too. The deck box is one that I really like. I don't like necessarily the, I don't even remember the company, the ones that I have, but they're the ones that close over, and they're the, you know, little plastic ones. You know, they function for what they do, but I don't necessarily care for them. These ones, they're the ones that fold over, and they have a, like, Velcro adhesive latch for them. And they're really nice. It's an amazing deck box, and it even came with a little card separator in there, too. So I can set some other, like, extra sleeves in there, or some extra cards that I might want to mess around with in there, and it just works out great.
That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. And the sleeves that we get, too, are the best sleeves that I've ever had for shuffling.
Nice!
Yes. I don't know what material they're made out of. I'm sure somebody knows. Probably David. David knows all the things. But I was shuffling them, and I was just like, oh, these are so nice to shuffle with. They do. They shuffle so well. They never catch in the corners. They never, you know, they never slide around. They're amazing. They're amazing sleeves. I need to get some more of them when I have more professor points.
That's awesome.
And that is pretty much my week in Pokemon. Otherwise, I also, for the double team, I also invited some players from the Facebook group, actually, to come on and test against my team. So that was also really fun.
I did mine all through random battling, so...
Yeah, and the random battling is good. I just prefer playing people that I know, too.
I guess.
I don't know. The randoms are okay. I mean, they do have a wider variety of teams, but they don't talk. You know, they're just like, well, let's have a Pokemon battle. Oh, I won or lost. Bye. Leave.
Well, and see, that's kind of what I was looking for, because I was hoping for a lot of battles in a relatively short amount of time, because I don't have a lot of spare time right now with midterms next week, so...
I suppose that's true.
I got in all my battles I needed to that way. But, you know, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I suppose with that, we will head over to the news desk. All right, well, as always on our news desk, we're going to start out with underground announcements. So to start us off with, it is once again suggestion week for the double team cycle. As always, the first three Pokemon suggested for the new double team cycle will go up for voting next week.
Also known as the few hours in the early morning on Sunday where Josh stalks the Facebook group to be sure that he can put his vote in early.
Josh and Kent both.
Josh and Kent, yep.
So... you can put your suggestions in one of three ways. You can respond to the poll that I will put up on the Facebook page, or you can send your suggestion in as a tweet to me at HotPinkJoystick or Sam at AlexielSolarin, or you can send an email to us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. We will check timestamps between all three of those locations to ensure that the first three Pokemon suggested are the ones that go up for voting on the next episode.
We are also going to be taking a week off this upcoming week because of very obvious reasons, but we're going to say them anyway because Pokemon X and Y are coming out. And it's one of the... we're going to be releasing it on a Sunday, and I'm going to be super busy, and I'm hoping Nateel will also be super busy, not only just playing X and Y, but going over to Paradox to kind of participate in our day-after-the-release sort of get-together for all of the Pokemon League players who were getting X and Y.
Yes, basically, we really love this show, you guys, and we really love you, too, but what we love most of all is playing Pokemon. So we're going to be hitting you guys up with a full review of the games in 2 weeks to give us a chance to actually experience the games before we, you know, have to record another episode.
Exactly. And with the amount of spoilers floating around out there, I want to get into it and start like playing it like in a huddle in either Paradox or in my room, just to experience as much of the game as I can before everything just explodes.
And that actually ties in very nicely, heading to Overworld news.
Yes. So the first thing that we were going to have here is that there are apparently Mega Evolutions that are version exclusive, and it's not limited to just Mewtwo. There was a reveal from the Pokemon company that Charizard now has an alternate form for Pokemon X and Pokemon Y.
I really like the Pokemon X version of Charizard.
You know, from what I've been seeing, I'm really glad that my main cart is going to be X.
Mine too!
And, you know, everybody was just like, why? Yeah, Veltal, yeah!
And I was like, Xerneas all the way.
Right?
And I am being rewarded for that now.
You know, it's not just the Princess Mononoke thing that was going on there either. I mean, we got lucky, not only with Charizard X, but, you know, arguably Mewtwo X.
I guess for me, the Mewtwos are kind of, like, equal in whether or not I actually care about them. But this new Charizard is, like, 100% yes, please.
Yep, pretty much.
Speaking of Pokemon X and Y news, Sam and I are aware of the fact that there is a leaker out there. Someone got their hands on a copy of the game early. It happens a lot, but Sam and I are not interested in dealing with any rumors or any spoilers or any leaks that do not come directly from either KoroKoro, Pokemon Smash, or the Pokemon Company International.
Yeah, and yeah, to clarify something, Nintendo did send them a letter telling them to cease and desist, and they pulled it all off, but everybody still saved all of the images anyway, and those are all getting distributed all over the internet. And I've had to leave, actually, 3 Facebook groups because people would keep posting the spoilers.
So Sam and I will not be tolerating any spoilers in our mailbag, discussed on our podcast, or posted on the Facebook page for the next week or so until the games are released. Sam and I are very, very huge proponents of being able to experience the games ourselves. We were very careful about that when Black and White came out and when Black and White 2 came out, and we just want to make sure that we maintain that sort of spoiler-free zone for all of you listeners in the upcoming week.
It was pretty epic. You missed out on a lot by not going to League this last week.
I had midterms!
I know, but all of a sudden 3 people walked up to me at League and they were just like, so, did you hear about what was going on with this? And I was just like, you know what? That reminds me. Stood up and I was just like, so, everybody, just have a couple announcements to make. The first of which is, I realized that there are spoilers floating around for X and Y on the internet, and if you tell any of them to me, or if I overhear them at all, I'm going to kick you out of the room. And they were just like, what? Like, yeah, don't even try me on that one. You will be ejected for the week. And they were like, okay.
Oh. In Pokemon X and Y related spoilers that have been officially released by the Pokemon Company International, 2 new fairy type Pokemon were revealed this past week. They are evolutions of 2 previously revealed fairy Pokemon. One of them is like this weird swirly thing. I should check. I didn't bother to check.
I've been remarkably short on the news. I remember hearing people talking about official releases, and I was just like, I don't even know. And it's because I've been trying to avoid all news, because I've been trying to avoid all spoilers.
Yeah, and I totally get that. The ones that were revealed were 2 fairy-type Pokemon, like I said, that were evolutions of previously revealed ones. So it's nothing that major. There are 2 Pokemon that were revealed that are not spoilerific.
It's true. But yes, speaking of things that are not spoilerific and things that you should be getting, other than X and Y, is your Giratina event Pokemon.
Which
there is,
the event is live!
It is live, and it will continue to be until October 20th. Which is rapidly approaching. So if you haven't gotten yours, you really, 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 really need to get it because it's shiny Giratina.
You don't want to miss out on this one.
I don't even know how else to describe it. I mean, it's Giratina and it's shiny. I know I'm big into dragon type Pokemon, but it's a ghost dragon type that's a super legendary and it was super hard to get, you know, just... Oh, Giratina.
All right, and the last bit of news that we have for you this week is that the Pokemon Origins 4-part sort of mini-series that got announced several weeks ago and aired in Japan is getting an English dub.
Yeah.
And not only is it getting an English dub, but it is going to be airing on the Pokemon website and Pokemon TV app on November 15th in all 4 parts completely for free. So for those of you out there like me who don't have, you know, paid cable and can't get access to Cartoon Network where the Pokemon anime typically airs, we will still have access to this awesome 4-part little mini-series completely free and completely legally on the website and the app.
Very awesome.
I'm super jacked. I think I am in class on November 15th, but I might be watching it through the app that day.
Right. Speaking of things that are coming out in late November, in, I guess, mid to early November, the Legendary Treasure set is coming out. And for those of you who are not familiar with the TCG, there are going to be a couple of new rule changes. The first of which is that when you do the coin flip at the start, whoever wins the coin toss or die roll or whichever method you prefer gets to choose whether they go first or second. And if they choose, the person who goes first in a match cannot attack with their Pokemon on that first turn.
Interesting.
Yep.
It was more akin to Magic now.
Mm-hmm. And I tried it out with some of the new rules, and it actually worked out pretty well. It's nice to know that if someone wins a coin flip, they won't be able to, say, use a Articuno EX and be just like, Water Energy, Colorless Machine, Colorless Machine, Skyla, Colorless Machine. All right, let's Blizzard for 120, knock it out, good game. So, just saying. But there were also a couple other new rule changes. The new card, Professor Sycamore, which will be releasing in X and Y, is worded the exact same way as the Professor Juniper was from Black and White. And you cannot use four of each card in your deck. They specifically worded it that way. You can't have either card in the same deck.
So you can't have, two Junipers and two Sycamores?
From what I understand, that's correct. They want you to either use the Sycamores or they want you to use the Junipers. You can't share the two. So, and I think the reasoning behind it is that they don't want people to build a deck with, say, four Junipers and four Sycamores and then just keep saying, all right, Juniper, next turn, Sycamore.
Well,
next
yeah, and I get that not having eight of them would be a good thing, but I don't see why you couldn't have four of them in a combination if they're worded exactly the same, but that's just me.
Yeah. And yeah, it also prevents people from also doing the, well, I've got four of these and three of these, I'm not filling the full eight here, or, you know, I've got three of these and three of these, and I don't know, I think they did it that way just so that you can keep both of them separate, and then you don't even have to worry about questioning how many Junipers you have and how many Sycamore you have. You know, it's just separated.
Well, then maybe they should have, you know, not done a weird reprint that gave it a different name. Just saying.
But there was also one other major rule change. The wording on Pokemon catchers has changed. The cards are now being treated as... if they were to, say, flip a coin, if heads, switch the opponent's defending Pokemon with one of his or her benched Pokemon.
There's a coin flip involved now.
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Well, it's unfortunate for people who run the catchers. I mean, it's still a powerful card. It just makes it more akin to... It makes it more balanced. Because, I mean, if you've got a big basic Pokemon out there and he can see that your evolution deck is setting up and back, he can just be like, ha! Catcher. And your whole strategy is done. And it gives that much more power back to evolution decks that rely on evolving cards to continue on as opposed to big decks just packed with EX Pokemon.
That makes sense.
Yep. And... it also helps give more use to cards like Escape Rope, because now it's causing people to switch around, and it's still forcing someone to switch, but I don't know, I feel like the mechanics are much more balanced now. I know a couple people were really upset about the change to Catcher, but I don't know, it's not that big of a deal.
Alrighty then, so does that wrap up news for us?
I think it does.
Awesome. Let's head over to the main topic.
We'll be right back. our main topic, where we are going to be using a weird shellfish Pokemon that is at the same time quite possibly one of the most terrifying Pokemon in the history of anything. And I mean that literally, in the history of anything, because it is technically an extinct fossilized Pokemon that was brought back to life using dark technology, or something, I don't know.
Or something. Whatever.
It was brought back to life by that one guy who yelled at you all the time, and that's the only thing that I remember about it. But yes, we're going to be setting up our double team segment where we built two teams around the shellfish Pokemon Kabutops. Which, for me, was actually really enjoyable, because Kabutops is one of those kind of Pokemon that I've wanted to build for the longest time, and I've wanted one ever since the days of Yellow, but I just never have had the time or really the initiative to build one before.
Well, this gave us both an opportunity to do so.
It's true.
And, weirdly enough, I think for the first time ever, Sam and I came up with fairly similar teams.
Well, you decided to go with a VGC team, which has pretty much been your standard for a while.
I really am enjoying the practice on doubles team to get my head more firmly wrapped around the VGC format.
Yep. And I decided to go with a VGC team this time as well, because Kabutops' ability is just that much more suited for VGC as opposed to singles, where some people will actually get quite annoyed with you if you decided to bring that in.
Yeah. So I guess I will throw out my team here first, because it's written down first.
Well, I would certainly hope that you wouldn't throw it. I would just assume you would read it.
No, I'm going to throw it.
Oh, okay. Everybody duck.
So, I have put together a team that has some very standard Pokemon roles and some very odd Pokemon roles. And I'll start off with my Kabutops because, well, he's the one that we are showcasing in this particular team. My Kabutops is running the Swift Swim ability, of course, and is actually holding the Water Gem. And I have opted for this particular option because of giving him the move Aqua Jet. And I really like being able to have that additional boost to that first Aqua Jet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get that with Swift Swim, he's got, like, pretty much straight up really fast priority anyways. But Aqua Jet is great if I need, something to counter another weather caster. And a Water Gem boosted Aqua Jet hurts pretty bad.
It's true.
Regardless of what type of weather I'm facing. On top of that, he's running Aqua Tail. He is running Rock Slide and X Scissor.
Any reason on the choice of Aqua Tail?
It has more base power than Waterfall and a slightly reduced accuracy, but I did not notice enough missing in the accuracy to make me want to use Waterfall instead.
I see.
I'm obviously pairing him up with a Drizzle Politoed, who is going to be holding the leftovers. I went with the defensive kind of Politoed as opposed to the offensive type of Politoed. The only offensive move my Politoed is running is Ice Beam, and then it's also running Hypnosis, Toxic, and Protect.
Nice.
To pair with these two, which were typically my lead on this team, I have a Dragonite, a multi-scale Dragonite at that, because why not?
Okay.
My Dragonite is holding the Life Orb, and I went with a special attacking Dragonite, which was a bit of a surprise to some of my opponents, but having Dragonite using Hurricane, Thunder, and Surf in the rain is far too good to pass up. And I opted for Dragon Pulse on him as well, over Draco Meteor, because I really can't deal with that special attack loss.
It's true.
Like, this team doesn't have enough hard-hitting Pokemon for Dragonite to take that special attack loss when it's focused on special attacking. I also have a Manectric on this team, who is using the ability Lightning Rod and holding the Choice Scarf, because I really love Choice Scarf Manectric. I'm using Volt Switch, Thunder, Signal Beam, and Hidden Power Ice on him. It's a bit of a deviation from my standard Manectric set. There's no Flamethrower on it because I'm running him on a rain team. And where I would typically maybe use Protect on a Manectric, because he's using the Choice Scarf, he gets no use out of Protect.
Yeah.
So his job is typically to pop out and bolt switch to revenge kill. And with the Choice Scarf, he's very, very good at it. I also have a Gastrodon on my team. My Gastrodon is running Storm Dream and holding the Rindo Berry because, oh my goodness, that reduction. I'm really glad that we talked about, you know, these berries that reduce super effective damage when we came back from regionals, because the Rindo Berry really makes it for Gastrodon.
Yes, it does. And that's the entire reason why I wanted to run it. And, you know, that Rindo Berry, you don't think about that 50% reduction in damage, but if you've got a quadruple weakness to something and it's really your only true weakness, you having it there to absorb one hit and possibly give you time to counterattack can win you the game.
It was really, really interesting. My Gastrodon is running Recover, Earth Power, Scald, and Sludge Bomb. It sounds really weird, but because I'm running a rain team and I end up going against a bunch of grass-type Pokemon, if I've got a grass-type Pokemon that runs a stab grass-type attack at me and I soak it with the Rindo Berry, returning it with a Sludge Bomb ruins their day.
That's true.
And it worked out fairly well, honestly. I was a little bit happy with that. The other Pokemon that I have that's running a really odd role is my Lucario. My Lucario is an inner focus Lucario with a citrus berry, and it is a defensive type Lucario running Quick Guard, Extreme Speed, Heal Pulse, and Earthquake.
Oh.
So, it was kind of a weird thing that I just decided to do because I like weird Pokemon. And throughout my time on Showdown, I ended up doing 25 battles, and I was sitting at a win-loss record of 12-13. So it was about a 50-50 win-loss ratio. The team is fairly mediocre. It's not holding up terribly well in the competitive metagame, but I learned some really amusing things. Heal Pulse Lucario is hilarious. Nobody expects him to come out and do that. I mean, like, a lot of them, like, some of the opponents I faced were expecting the extreme speed. And that makes sense, because Lucario is one of the only... was one of the few Pokemon out there with access to extreme speed. And so if you have access to a priority move that out-priorities other priority moves, you should take it.
It's true.
But nobody was expecting things like Quick Guard and Heal Pulse. And Quick Guard is fun because if I see a priority move coming and I've got a Pokemon that's going to be weak to that particular priority, a Quick Guard stops it from happening. And then my Pokemon that would have gotten KO'd has the opportunity to answer back with a big, heavy-hitting move of some sort.
Sure.
It's a little bit hard for me to pull off really well yet, but I think that's just because I need more practice learning to predict where priority moves are coming in. I think that Quick Guard's got a lot of potential to be used very, very well in the competitive metagame. I just need to be a better trainer at predicting those priority moves coming in. Surf Dragonite plus Gastrodon is amazing. I really, really love it. I remembered that I have to watch out when I'm using Thunder, and, like, if I have Dragonite and Manectric out at the same time, I can't use Thunder.
No.
Because then Manectric's just like, I'll take that. I had forgotten about that in one battle, and I felt really, really silly about it afterward.
It's okay.
Yeah, it happens. I mentioned the Rindo Berry. I was really excited about the Rindo Berry. It works fantastically on that Gastrodon. My big problem with this team was honestly my Kabutops. And I'm not sure if I just need to tweak the EV spread a little bit or exactly what needs to happen, but it doesn't hold up very well in the competitive metagame from what I was experiencing. It doesn't stand up to hits very well. It is not hitting quite hard enough. I don't know if maybe I need to ditch the Water Gem and Choice Band him and just, you know, run Waterfall all the time. But he's a little bit of a rough Pokemon to get out there in the competitive metagame. And maybe on a team with a lot more good stuffs Pokemon, he'd have an easier time. I don't know. Like I said, at 12 wins, 13 losses, I'm sitting at a pretty mediocre team here that probably could use a little bit of adjustment. It was not a home run.
Well, when it came to my team here that I made, I went with essentially Rain Team 2.0. I used Kabutops, Dragonite, Politoed, Metagross, Ludicolo, and Liepard. And for my Kabutops, it was a Swift Swim one.
Of course it was.
I opted for the Life Orb.
Oh.
And I went with Waterfall, Aqua Jet, Super Power, and Rock Slide. I was debating on whether or not I wanted Protect on him, and I decided I didn't. And I was just going to have him run Waterfall for the flinch chance. Aqua Jet, just for priority. Super Power to help with type coverage, and Rock Slide to help out with getting some more key flinches going on.
Good plan.
Then I also went with Dragonite. It had the Inner Focus ability because I really don't like it when people flinch my Dragonite with a Fake Out. I went with the Yachiberry because people will fake it out and then try and use an Ice-type attack on it, thinking that it's going to knock it out when it won't. And then I had it run Thunder, Hurricane. I opted for Draco Meteor this time just in case I wanted to do a tremendous amount of damage to something that I knew wouldn't resist it. And then I opted for Protect on him. I also went with Politoed. He was going to be having Drizzle. He was going to be holding a Watkin Berry because it's a fantastic item for Politoed to have. I had so many people try zapping him with lightning that, you know, it just makes sense. He knows Hydro Pump, Ice Beam, Helping Hand, and Protect. Pretty much the same thing that I ran at Regionals. I was going to also run a Metagross. He was going to have his Clear Body ability, the Steel Gem, Bullet Punch, Meteor Mash, Zen Headbutt, and Protect. I also had my Ludicolo, who was going to be running a Swift Swim. It was going to be holding either the Absorb Bulb or the Grass Gem. And with Hydro Pump, Giga Drain, Ice Beam, and Protect. And then I also had a Liepard, who was a new Pokemon that I found that was suggested to me by Josh. He was going to... I didn't know what item to give him, so I kind of just gave him the leftovers. He was going to also run Thunder Wave, Rain Dance, Foul Play, and Taunt. And the win-loss ratio with his team was about 50%, and I was... I don't know, I was thinking that when I was running the Pokemon, that if I wasn't running them on Showdown, it would function a whole lot better than when I was, because people have that much more time to be able to look at the Pokemon, know what its typing is, and formulate a strategy to be able to counter it, and they could even look up its moveset on the internet. But, you know, that's just a... I don't even know what the...
It's a concession of using Showdown.
Yes, a concession. Thank you. I did learn that the team has a bit of a hard time dealing with Grass and Steel-type Pokemon, and I'm sure I can make a couple substitutions in other places for it to kind of make up for it. I did have Liepard in there with Rain Dance to help keep setting up the... rain in case somebody decided to bring in another Pokemon to shut my weather off. So I at least had that. And it was really an excellent means to get my team set up and ready to roll, because I was able to spam Thunder Wave and really put my opponents in a bit of a bind when it came to just being able to respond as quickly or as consistently to the team that I was using. The Kabutops, when I was using it, was brilliant. I had a great time with it. I didn't get much use out of Waterfall, but I did a tremendous amount of damage, even to Steel-type Pokemon, with Aqua Jet. And Super Power and Rock Slide, in particular, really won me some of my games. A single Rock Slide off of his rather impressive attack and his just boosted speed that he had really did a tremendous amount of damage, and it actually stole me a win away from one of the listeners that I was fighting.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was, if I did not have, it was to the point where it outran a agilitied Empoleon.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, and I didn't think about it at the time, but Kabutops does have a base 80 speed, so he is just under double the amount of speed that my Armaldo was running. I'm pretty sure if my Armaldo was on the team as opposed to Kabutops, I would not have won that check. But when it came to Kabutops, he was plenty fast enough to be able to handle that.
Did you give your Kabutops any speed investment in EVs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
I ignored defenses completely.
I
immediately acknowledged that Kabutops had no chance of surviving any sort of a hit, really, that was sent its way. It has a lot of weaknesses to a lot of different types. If it ever got hit with a grass, I didn't even bother with a Rindoberry, because if a single grass attack off of him would just end him, there would be no way to recover from it. But, yeah, when it came to Kabutops, I pretty much treated it the same way as Armaldo, except I made some adjustments for it to acknowledge the fact that it was going to be much more fragile than it was. And I went entirely speed and attack with the life orb and just was relying on sheer power to be able to overwhelm the opponent.
That makes sense to me, honestly. I probably would have been better served doing that as opposed to trying to beef up his defenses a bit.
Well, his defense is pretty good. I think he's sitting at 105 for his defense, but
his special defense is only like a 70 or something like that.
Yeah, and his HP is 60, so he's not, even though he's got that really nice defense going on, he doesn't quite have the bulk or the typing advantage that Armaldo would have, or that a lot of, or well, I guess some of the other fossil Pokemon have. I know that Kabutops, Tortuga, and Omastar all share the same typing. Yes. So they would all have the same weaknesses. But Kabutops, I don't know, I felt that he would really shine as just going straight for attacking, and that would probably be the best way to go about using him. I think if we were using him in a VGC situation where we were using the carts, people would have a much harder time trying to predict what he was going to do because he's such a rarely used Pokemon. I like the idea of the Lightning Rod Manectric, just because you have 1, 2, 3 Pokemon on it that would take a lot of damage from an electric-type attack.
Yep!
And even though Lucario doesn't necessarily have any weaknesses to it, it still wouldn't appreciate taking a Thunder.
No, it would
in
not.
The rain. No, it wouldn't. What did I see? You went with the Water Gem on Kabutops?
Yes.
I didn't know that he learned X Scissor.
Yes, he does. I'm sure of it, or freaking Showdown would have told me that it was illegal.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to check just to be sure. Because I think it's a Black and White 2 move tutor move.
Oh, there it is. TM81.
Oh, so it is just straight TM for him. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's something that I was kind of looking for, and that would probably help me out a lot. I don't know if I would run X Scissor on Kabutops myself, just because he wouldn't get the stab off of it. I know the helping hand for the stab off of Armaldo really helped to counter a lot of grass-type Pokemon, but I don't know, it's still something I'm going to have to acknowledge with the team that I have as well. And the Aqua Tail was a surprising thing that you chose, and it's a pleasantly surprising one. I mean, I went with Waterfall just because of its standard, you know, being able to flinch and its reliability, but I mean, if you're using Aqua Tail and you obviously used it, you had almost no problems with its accuracy at all.
Because it's a 90% accurate move.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little bit of a power boost over Waterfall, and if I really need the if I really need the flinching, I'm going to be using Rock Slide, which I'm also getting stab off of, and getting spread damage.
Yeah.
So I opted for a little bit of a harder hit on his standard stab water move.
There you go. But yeah, otherwise your team looked pretty solid. I also liked that the Dragonite was on your team just because...
I don't use Dragon Pokemon very often.
And you had Surf on him specifically for teaming him up rather with Gastrodon, right?
Yes.
That works.
That's the only time he needs to use Surf. If he's not out with Gastrodon, he's using Thunder and Hurricane and Dragon Pulse.
Okay.
The only thing that I kind of maybe thought about doing was switching Dragon Pulse for Protect. Because he's getting... On this team, he got a lot of use out of Thunder, Surf, and Hurricane, and not very much use out of Dragon Pulse. There was one instance where I was up against a Hydreigon where I nuked the Hydreigon with a Dragon Pulse. But out of 25 battles, that was the only time that I needed that. And I think I more often would have appreciated having the option to protect on an incoming ice move or something like that. So I might ditch Dragon Pulse for Protect on him.
That's also a solid choice.
Your team is really solid too, though. I mean, you obviously were experiencing not quite as much difficulty using the Kabutops as I was.
And, I don't know, the Kabutops, I think you almost have to have a little experience with using some of those fossil Pokemon.
Yeah, and I definitely don't.
To have it work for you. And, I don't know, when the Kabutops, I understand why people wouldn't want to use Kabutops all that often. I mean, weakness to grass and ice and metal and, or not metal, and steel and fighting and, you know, just... Ground, no, neutral to ground. No? I think weak to ground. Wow, that's a lot
of weaknesses. Yeah, he has a lot of weaknesses.
But yeah, and it's just, I think the nice thing about these fossil Pokemon, though, is if you're off of Showdown, they have this massive surprise factor that people don't even think about. I mean, there are 649 Pokemon with more on the way. They're never, ever going to remember the typing on all of them, and they're never going to remember what kind of moves are going to be really effective on all of them, unless you're, like, the top-tier players or the people who aspire to be top-tier players. Such as us.
I think that's pretty much all we have to say on Kabutops.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, let's head over to the rest of the show.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
Yeah. This week's Pokemon Spotlight covers number 141, Kabutops.
Kabutops is a rock and water type Pokemon that was resurrected from a dome fossil and evolves from Kabuto at level 40.
It is known as the shellfish Pokemon, and it is theorized that Kabutops was in the process of adapting to hunting on land at the time of its extinction due to its prey moving to terrestrial habitats.
Moving out of the ocean just didn't help him out at all.
It makes me giggle a little bit that there's this idea of, you know, standard real-world evolution throughout the Pokemon world in addition to the Pokemon version of evolution.
Yes. Yes. Oh, poor Kabutops. But they are described as using their scythe-like claws to slice open their prey and suck out their bodily fluids.
So it's sort of like a spidery kind of a feeding method.
It's disturbing, in a way, is what it is. Because I guess I never thought about how a Kabutops would actually eat before, and then I read the Pokedex entries, and I was like, well, okay.
The good thing about that, though, is that Kabutops are also known to be extremely reclusive Pokemon. They prefer to live in seclusion by themselves, away from, you know, other Pokemon and people, and they will become extremely violent if they're provoked. So just, you know, leave them alone, and they'll leave you alone.
That's nice. Because, yeah, that would really, really be a bad deal to be attacked by a Kabutops. Just saying. Pokemon World is extremely dangerous to people.
I know.
Speaking of Kabutops being extremely dangerous towards people, a Kabutops was featured as a major antagonist in the movie Pokemon Heroes, which we reviewed already in one of our previous episodes, if you would like to check that out.
And as far as the TCG is concerned, Kabutops has been featured on 13 different TCG cards in 10 sets of the Pokemon game, none of which are currently tournament legal, sadly enough.
Yeah, I don't know. They've given a couple of fossil Pokemon some reuse again, but I don't know. It's not been a big thing that they've been focusing on.
Yeah, it's a little sad.
It is, but I don't know. The fossil Pokemon have always been this weird thing for people to use. It was fun back in the fossil set. Not so fun in the newest sets.
It's a little difficult now.
Yeah. Kabutops are known to be exceptionally powerful swimmers, and they're often armored so as to protect themselves from dire attacks that would hit them in their weak points. And in extremely rare instances, they can allow their armor to break off in order to gain more maneuverability against an opponent.
These things all equate to their three different abilities: Swift Swim, Battle Armor, and in the Dream World, Weak Armor.
Despite having access to what could only be described as an impressive suite of special attacks, and there are some that are out there that are fantastic for him. I mean, you know, Blizzard, Ice Beam, I think he can learn Giga Drain, which is a little creepy just from remembering his Pokedex entry, but, you know, whatever. The only thing I can think of is poor Omastar, because I don't think Omastar ever could learn Giga Drain, and then you had your Kabutops, who's just like, Giga Drain, quadruple weakness. Oh my. But Kabutops is a remarkably weak special attacker. And it makes up for this with a strong attack stat, which is sitting at base 115, if I remember right.
Correct.
Yes. The Kabutops also have access to attacking moves like we just talked about, like Waterfall, Aqua Jet, Rock Slide, Stone Edge, and Super Power, along with X-Scissor, apparently. I didn't realize that at first. Kabutops also can attack with really intense speed and power, even though its move pool is pretty limited to the choices that we described, at least from a competitive standpoint.
Yeah. Defensively, Kabutops is less than stellar. It has a wide variety of weaknesses and not so great special defense, though its base defense does sit at 105.
For those of you who are wondering what its weaknesses are, weakness to electric, quadruple weakness to grass, weakness to fighting, weakness to ground, and it's only resisting flying, poison, and fire and normal.
So it's rough. It's definitely rough. It's definitely rough. Using Kabutops is a tactical risk, as Sam and I explored in this particular cycle of the double team segment. Removing hard counters to Kabutops or neutralizing them is really recommended before having him come out to clean up the field. And that's the thing that I think maybe Sam and I both learned while we were doing these particular teams, is that Kabutops doesn't make a great lead.
No, he's much better at cleaning things up. He pops in when you don't expect him to come out, and he hits remarkably hard, and you kind of have to rely on that to be able to clean it up. I mean, against the poor guy who I used a single Rock Slide against and cleaned out his whole team at the very end. I mean, it took him by surprise. He didn't expect it. And that's the sort of thing that Kabutops is really good at. Not so good at dealing with Metagross and Bullet Punch.
True story. It's time for my favorite part of the show again. It's question of the week time, where we ask you guys a question and you give us your answers. And last week, we asked, who is your favorite grass type Pokemon and why? And unfortunately, we got a lot of responses, but most of them completely, you know, didn't pay attention to the why part. But
yeah.
We're going to go through them all. Starting off with our first respondent, Arjuna replied with Lilligant, because Sleep Powder plus Quiver Dance plus Petal Dance plus Own Tempo has swept many teams for me.
Robert wrote in with Breloom, because my choice scarf, Max Speed, Eevee, and Ivy Monster was fantastic at Nationals, and it looks cool.
Sean wrote in saying, in the recent games, it's been Virizion, mainly because of that great luck I have getting the Virizion EXs in the TCG. However, I am so pumped for Chespin that he could be my new favorite.
Josh wrote in, I'm going to have to agree with Robert on this one. I have always loved Breloom. He has great typing, amazing design, and incredible abilities, and a great move pool to fit exactly what he needs. Breloom has always been a Pokemon that I've used competitively, and I use him so much that I have 5 competitive versions of him.
That's a little unnecessary, Josh.
Well, you say that, and then you're also speaking to somebody who has 6 different versions of Dragonite.
Yeah, I know. You two are crazy.
Yes, we are.
Kent wrote in saying, I'll have to say Ludicolo. He's my favorite. He's a dual type with my favorite, Water, and his abilities, Rain Dish and Swift Swim, help him out enormously on my Rain team.
Justin wrote in, good question. I think it right now it's Leafeon. I've been trying to decide on my favorite evolution lately, and Leafeon is Zidorbs. So even though my favorites tend to change, for now it's Leafeon. I wish it had a better move pool, though. Oh no, can we talk about Quilladin? Because he's more Zidorbs.
Noah wrote in saying, for me, it's Venusaur.
Kisuke also wrote in saying Leafeon, because it's an evolution, and the fact that the 3 I've bred came out as female, and always seemed to surprise opponents with the movesets they had. But I think the really big thing that made Leafeon grow to be my favorite is that she evolved in Gardenia's gym when I was playing Platinum, just before I reached Gardenia herself.
That's a pretty cool story.
Oh yeah.
Adam wrote in saying, I really like Ferrothorn. Spikes plus Curse plus Leech Seed plus Gyro Ball equals awesome.
You would say that. I remember that. I remember that, Ferrothorn. I remember. Afton wrote in, all of them, because grass types are the bomb. The seed bomb.
That doesn't surprise me. We've known for a long time that the grass type is Afton's favorite type, so.
Yep.
We had a new respondent. Sebastian wrote in saying, sadly, I've always avoided having grass types on my team. I've always liked the look of Shiftry, but I've always struggled to use it effectively in battle due to it only being able to get one hit in before being obliterated.
I've tried using Shiftry before, and he's a little interesting. You have to work at getting him to be just right.
Yeah, that's true.
Steven wrote in saying Venusaur. He's quite flexible, as he can serve as a physical or special wall, a physical, special, or mixed sweeper, a subseater, or general support slash annoyance. Couple that with a great stat spread and excellent typing, and you have a beast that is truly unpredictable. Not to mention, he has the presence of mind to not be taken over by the flower on his back. Paris could learn some things from Venusaur.
Andy wrote in saying, I guess it'd be Roserade based on it's the only grass Pokemon I've used regularly on a team.
Isaac wrote in, tough to choose, but I guess I'd choose either Superior or Parasect. Parasect is so cool, I want to ride one.
I think that might be hazardous to your health, considering of all, you know, the hazardous spores coming out of that mushroom on its back.
Well, maybe he's like Trubbish, where he's, you know, poisonous for a while, but if you have him, you like train him and everything, he's just like, yeah! And
I don't know, I don't know.
He's happy. And I don't know, would you like to ride a Parasect?
No, I would not.
You would not?
No.
You're all about Parasect.
I love Parasect, but I don't think I would want to ride one. I would like to have one, you know, at my side, poisoning my opponents.
Oh, but you wouldn't want to ride one.
No, I would not.
Oh, okay. I would totally want to ride a Dragonite. Just saying. I'd probably ride a Parasect, too, if I was if I even knew that the, well, maybe a giant Parasect. I'm pretty sure if it was just a regular Parasect, I might crush it.
Taz wrote in saying, currently Celebi because its bulk, natural cure, and aromatherapy are an integral part of my team right now. However, honorable mentions go to Technician Breloom and Ferrothorn. Contrary Superior will also be fun if it's ever relieved. Plus, Celebi was the first event Pokemon I ever received way back in the days of Gold, Silver, Crystal.
I always kind of wonder about that, whether those hidden abilities will ever truly be released or not.
I know, I really want them to, because I want a Contrary Superior, and I want a Solar Power Charizard, and I want a Chlorophyll Venusaur, and just please, please, Nintendo, please.
We want them.
Give them to me!
And our final respondent was Cranky Taper, who wrote in Superior, because he was my first grass starter, and that I took with me throughout the entire game, and got him up to level 100.
So for this week, we are asking what is probably a fairly obvious question of the week, but you know, we're not going to have this opportunity every single week, so we're going to do it anyways. This week's question of the week is, what are you doing to celebrate the release of Pokemon X and Y next week? Because it is a big deal, and you should all be celebrating somehow.
Right?
So Sam, how are you celebrating?
Well, I'm going to be attending a midnight release of it, which is the first time that a midnight release has ever been a thing for Pokemon up here, so that's like a once in a, that's literally a once in a lifetime thing. I don't even know if they're gonna have it again, but well, at least up here anyway.
Right.
I'll be organizing a tournament there, and I'll also be helping to organize a post-release league event the day after, as well as reviewing the games with you here on the show.
Super exciting!
Right?
I will be also attending a midnight release because it is pretty much a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity up here because of the blue laws, which we discussed earlier in the show. I'll be, you know, handing out flyers with Darren. I hope it's a little bit warmer next week than it was this week, and I hope it's not raining because at the 45th Street store, we will be standing outside, and I will be sad if I'm getting rained on while I'm waiting for my Pokemon game.
You might be able to get something set up, though, if it's not raining and being crappy out. You might be able to do something pretty awesome there if they allow it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah. And then other than that, I am kind of, I'd really like to bake something for the release.
Okay.
I don't know if I will do cookies or if I will try to do Pokeball cake balls again, but I will see what I can do and what I have the time for in the middle of midterms week.
I think that might actually cause some people to want to come to League just because the cake pops are, like, legendary.
I make really good cake pops, apparently.
Yes, you do. Will you also be coming to the post-release League event the day after?
I believe so, yes. I think that I will be rescheduling my normal Sunday Skype game specifically for that, so.
Well, I would, I'm just saying right now, I would think that Pokemon X and Y's release would be a good enough reason to reschedule the Skype game. I don't know about the Skype game. I don't know what it is, but X and Y is kind of a big deal.
A little bit. So if you guys would like to respond to this week's question of the week and let us know how you're going to be celebrating the release of Pokemon X and Y, which is the first worldwide simultaneous release in Pokemon history, you can do so in one of several ways. We have our mailbag at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com where you can send us an email. You can respond to this week's topic on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. You can respond to the poll that will be pinned on the top of our Facebook page. Or you could tweet your responses to me at HotPinkJoystick or Sam at Alexiel Solarin. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via the iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or a rating on iTunes, and if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest Deli Bird to our mailbag. or you can just email us at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com. We'd also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. You can join our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums and now on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again in 2 weeks when we'll be giving you a full review of Pokemon X and Y. So, you know, Scott, you should probably play the game as opposed to kind of waiting on it for another, you know, 6 months again. Just saying. So until next time, Pokemon fans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 uncorded license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nikhil Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.
And now for your Pokemon Pro Tip of the Week. When you plug in your Pikachu 3DS XL, you are obligated to say, Pikachu, use charge.